Welcome to another episode of the For the Culture podcast, soccer podcast for us, by us. We talk about the intersection of Black culture and soccer. Got a two-man crew today. Got your boy Greg over here. Got Coach in the building. What's good with you, man?
It's good to see you, man. You know, sorry, we got a couple red cards, so we had to, you know, we got to pick up the slack. You know, it's interesting. The team usually play better sometimes when they go a man down, so. We're just going to park the bus, you know, and we're going to finish this thing on out.
We're not gonna go. Not gonna run out the field and go pee. we're not gonna do nothing like that.
It might. Daya, come back here. Come back here.
Either he had to go number one or he did not wipe. That's all I gotta say.
Dude, I'll tell you this. I mean, I've been in plenty of situations as a player, as a coach. You know, there's been plenty of times where it's number one. Dudes, just go. You know, they'll go on themselves, you know, and everything like that. But when it's number two, and it's the bubble guts get you, hey, it's not a good time. I won't release any names, but in a state championship game my junior year in high school, and we had this freshman on the team. Maybe that's even nailing down even more. So he actually was starting for us. He was playing well and everything. And then he got subbed out. And then at halftime, I think the game was tied 1-1. And I go to the bench and I'm like, what's that smell? And they're like, what's his name? Shitted on himself. I'm like, you're in the game?
Yeah,
I'm just saying, Dyer probably had it was a dire situation.
But no, like, I don't think I've ever seen that before, at least in a game like that with Spurs, Chelsea, granted it was the Carabao Cup. It had better been an EPL game. Like, that'd be, like, of course, it's already causing a big stink. To be good with that. But yeah, like, that's just wild, man. That's just wild. Like and of course I'm it leaves me thinking like how would you go? Would you just like lay on the ground? Would you just like take a knee and just like, oh, okay, that feels better.
Yep. Seen that done. Definitely have seen that done. It's interesting though about, you know, Jose Mourinho was, I think before the game he was saying that, you know, for Tottenham, they got too much stuff going on that they're not really focused on this. It's funny how all managers say that, but come on, you're a professional and you compete at the highest level, and you're an athlete and you're a coach, you want to win. Like, you're going to put your best foot forward. So when you run after your player because he's about to pee or shit on himself, yeah, you serious about that. You really want that hardware or that software.
No, like, it's so weird because, like, especially with Spurs, because they haven't won a trophy in, like, I want to say it's been like a good 11 or 12 years.
Nobody cares.
And I was like, hey, we gonna get some. We're getting some. But yeah, thank you guys for listening to the show this week. Of course, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Anchor, iHeartRadio. I think we're trying to do Pandora too. So, like, wherever there's a podcast, always look us up, FTC. UTD. And let's get into it. Of course, I gotta send my condolences to your fam back out in Germany, because the merciless end has finally come to David Wagner at Schalke. Honestly, I don't know why they couldn't have just done this last month when the season ended, because yeah, we kind of saw this coming real fast.
It was coming. I mean, all the things were lining up for him for his dismissal. And, you know, I guess the selfish part of me and the culture part of me is glad that our boy Weston McKennie could get out in time and make a huge move. He's making big boy moves to Juventus and everything. So, I mean, his time's coming, and you hate to see it because Schalke, I mean, I've said this in other episodes before, what they got going on, like, on, you know, academy level and everything like that, they're good in that stance or whatever. But at the end of the day, if you're not putting results out and you get blasted, you know, like on a JV level.
That first game of the season against Bayern, I was like, ooh, like this might not be
good. Yeah, I just wish there was a football team in the city of Atlanta that would take note and would follow suit.
We've been off for a couple weeks, so we haven't had a chance to really get on that. And you know, right now,
there's a lot of football teams in the city of Atlanta. You know, I could be talking about Pop Warner. You know what I'm saying?
Could be talking about East Lake.
Exactly. You know, I'm talking about, you know, hey, they playing football on the high school level. Some of these coaches not practicing COVID protocol. Hey, they might get that.
Hey, even the Titans are practicing protocol right now. So, I mean, it's hitting everybody right now, and
shocker,
we're all still playing.
Shocker!
It makes no sense to me at this point. I think, especially with all the hits that have come this past week, like Notre Dame, the Titans. Of course, we missed a couple weeks ago with Tijuana. They had like 30 cases of COVID. It's like, bro, and you guys are just still playing. Like, I don't know if it just – are we just that oblivious to what's going on to where it's like, hey, you know, we'll just put off a couple of days, put some Robitussin on it. We'll be good to go.
No, I mean, I definitely think this time period has definitely shown our Americans and our true arrogant ways and how we're entitled to doing any and everything. We're entitled to have live sports played in front of us and this and that, whatever. We're entitled to that. And so I think
that will entertain us.
That striking is just, you know, if you see one team doing it, then you're like, oh yeah, see, they're doing it. If they can do it, we can do it, blah, blah, blah. And it's just that trickle down effect. Y'all know I've been more on the conservative side with this, and I've always said it. You know, the only way this is going to work in any competition, any level, is bubble.
Yeah.
Bubble. Like,
you know what's crazy? Because I saw
we forgot the Stanley Cup playoffs were on. I definitely lost track of that.
That's because they kept their asses up in Canada. They said, hey, y'all fight over lemon pepper blue wings on your own.
Like, but they bubbled.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think little to no cases or anything. Same thing with
no cases.
You know,
NBA still going NBA, good.
NBA, we've seen that as well. But yeah, like, you see with NFL, they had cases. Major League Baseball, they had major cases. I mean, MLS had major cases. So it's just like, unless you bubble,
it's nothing but trouble.
Whoa! I think we got a t-shirt in there somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Bubble trouble. But no, like it's and it says a whole lot because like even like UFC, like they went all the way, that like, they like built like their own island and shit for their fights. And Dana White, who's like one of 45's homies and everything, he was like, yeah, if y'all want to do this, y'all need to be in the bubble. Like, there's really no way around this shit. And so if him to say it says a whole lot. And I get it, you know, you're taking players away from their families. I get it. But at the same time, you either gotta do option A or option B. And if you're gonna do option A that involves you playing, you need to figure out whatever bubble scenario that you can. Otherwise, you're just putting yourselves at danger of obviously putting your players at risk, putting their families at risk, and then also putting your games at risk as well. Because once you start putting off games, you got to worry about how to reschedule them and when you're going to reschedule them. And like, I think like with some baseball teams, like they ended up saying, hey, we can't make these up. Like, we're just stuck.
Here's the thing that I was really thinking about. I was watching SportsCenter this past weekend, and I saw like the highlights, and they were showing, you know, New York Jets and New York Giants, football Giants. So
this could be a soccer Giants.
But they're, you know, they're playing in front of fans and things. And I'm really thinking, how much it would suck that if you got COVID from watching a shitty ass team play. Like, not only did you watch a sorry ass game, but then you get COVID off of it. Like,
I risk my life.
Is it worth it?
But it's bum ass team. I risk my life for the Jets. Like, you know how bad that is, man. Like, but no.
I don't get that. And I mean, I'm sure there's people who have, you know, a wide spectrum that different than what I'm feeling right now. But I'm not ready to take that risk of going to, you know, a game just to see some sorry ass Falcons or sorry ass Atlanta United play.
Ooh, man, United. Yeah. We ain't talking about them in a while. Yeah. I'm wearing black, but it looks like.
So yeah, let's talk about that. Is that a Montreal?
Oui.
Shouts out to the kits that we're wearing today. Both teams are wearing have black coaches. Aha.
Aha.
Culture supporting black coaches, black coaches. So obviously we got Thierry Henry coaching Montreal up there. And shouts out to my man Shaka Daly, head coach of Michigan. Bless me with the big blue. Had to, especially the keeper kit as well, too. So we had to rep for the black coaches tonight.
Indeed, man. But yeah, man, I can't really go into MLS right now. I said, like,
We were talking Germany.
Let's
talk about a lot of our, you know, our national pride that's going on over in Germany and Europe overall. And
it seems like every couple of weeks now we got an American player making big moves. Like the next one on the list is Sergino Dest making a big move from Ajax to Barcelona. Like,
woo! Never heard of that team. That's a small team, right?
Bruh, like, first of all, I think just the fact that, because for the most part, Spanish clubs are really given American players no love at all. Granted, Dest really grew up in the Dutch system, but still he's American. And so the fact that, you know, they take, obviously with the relationship between Ajax and Barcelona, it definitely makes them, you know, a guy that they would feel that would fit within their system. And I think it's a great move. I'm a little worried only because of where Barcelona is right now. And if the pressure to succeed while Mad Messi is on the rampage, like, I don't want him to get shitted on just because of shit that's really out of his control. That's really my only worry there. But just the fact of him being at Barcelona, you know, of course he can play left back or right back. He's able to play either fullback position. Like, I think that he's, if everything goes well, that can go really well for him.
I mean, I think you got to play the long game on this one. It's a marathon on this one. And what I mean by that, I don't have the expectations of him being, you know, the constant top 11. And I think even more so what we're really looking at is, not to say a project, but you're looking at the fact of the level of he's playing in Spain. He's playing at, you know, arguably, you know, one the most historic club, obviously, in Spain. And to be going up against some of the world's top strikers, you know, like, theoretically, he could be Marcus Suarez and, you know, Diego Costa. Like, I mean, to be battling that and getting prepared for that and being around, you know, his team at that talent level, and to be playing in front of fans at that type of level, what that would do for, let's just say he's there for 2-3 years. Mm. 2-3 years, maybe he gets, you know, let's say, you know, 15 to 20 games. Mm. That's going to be huge as far as confidence, what he's experienced, what he's been exposed to, coaching techniques, player techniques. I mean, like, and so whatever club he goes to next is really going to reap the benefit. That's how I'm looking at it. And then what he brings back to our national team.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Think about that poise he would have. Because then you ain't tripping if you in Trinidad and Tobago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you take care of business. You, like, do your right. On the regular.
You ain't letting Berhalter and Serena get in your way. It's like, you know, we winning this shit.
Right. But no, shouts out to Dest. Like, that's a big move. Big props to him. I mean, there's always going to be, you know, when you're the first to do something, there's going to be more eyes and more expectations type of thing that's really going to, you know, Look
and at the thing about that is that he's not even the only American there, because like they've had an American player
right
in the academy ranks for a while, like Comrade De La Fuente. I think he's either on the verge of bringing this to first team, or like I know he's been getting some first team looks in preseason, and I say there's a fair chance he does get his debut this season. And you know, like all things considered, like you look at like where like our national team is, like we could easily be on the verge of like our golden generation. You could say like even more golden than the fake gold that was there last decade with Dempsey and Donovan and Bradley and everything. This could actually be real gold. Like you got top players at top clubs who are getting action and getting burned. Like it's not just a case of like where compared to like 10 years ago when you had a boy Gucci Yewu with at AC Milan. Of course, before he tore his knee up, it wasn't like the plan was really to play him or anything. Like it was just, you know, he was more supplemental than anything.
How dare you disrespect Roster Breck like that, man?
He couldn't do it on the cold night in Stoke. He couldn't do it.
How dare you disrespect?
But he could score on United and inside the Benz, and that hurt, man. The locks are gone. I'm like, damn, like it just turned to a whole new person, man.
I mean, yeah, Brett Shea. Yeah, of course you had Dempsey at Fulham, and you know, you had Tim Howard at Man United for that short stint. I mean, and you definitely had like, you know, look at Gio Reyna's dad. Claudio Reyna, back when he was like Rangers and everything. Like, I mean, like, there's been those been those players that, you know, here and there.
Yeah.
But like, just look at Germany alone and the influence of American players there. You know, obviously you got Reyna, you got Tyler Adams, you did have Wes McKennie. You know, who am I missing, Greg? John Brooks, Timothy Chandler. You know, I mean, like, all these players are – not only are they on those teams, but they're playing. You know what I'm saying? So it's like – especially Tyler Adams. Like, of course, we're a big fan of his on the show. But, like, that man's a major contributor.
Yeah, so, absolutely.
Their
money when he plays, so, yeah.
Right. You bring up a good argument, a good case about this generation that we have. And it's young. And they're young. I mean, they're super young right now. And so it's going to be interesting to see how these next 5 years kind of pan out with this group, and you know, if they're going to be regular contributors to those big time teams. And of course it's going to be, how does that gel together for the national team?
It's that's a weird thing, because like all things considered, like we have really yet to see all of them together at the same time. It's always been like a couple guys here, couple guys are out injured, few guys here, Pulisic's out. Like it's really rarely ever been like everyone all together in form all at the same time. Like hopefully whenever we finally get back to playing some national team games, kind of like qualifiers got pushed back out again to like next year. Like by the time that we finally get back out there, you'll have players who have, you know, been well integrated into their club. Into their club situations, they know where they stand, they know where they're going, and they can, like you said, like you can translate all that to and bring that to the national team. Like, hopefully, it all works out. I just hope, you know, Berhalter doesn't screw this up like he's done everything else. You know, like,
You know, again, shout out to Des making moves, making them money move. What was it, what, 25 mil, somewhere in that, 25, 30 mil? Somewhere around there,
yeah, about around 20. Because like, and then also, your boy Stefan, he made his debut with Man City last week. Got them a victory. Of course, they brought Ederson back on Sunday, and they got smoked by Leicester.
I was thinking, this last weekend, man, there was some good upsets going on. Yeah. 5-2, 5-2, first time. Giving up 5 goals as a coach.
Bruh.
Damn, that sucks. Sorry. Oh, well.
And they lost. Bayern lost. Like, yo, all this considered, I did not see Bayern lose at all this season.
No, I that machine that they got, like, Bayern is scary good. And so, yeah. You know, really we're going to be looking back at this and we're going to laugh and just like, you remember that weekend?
Remember that time they lost? It was like one game. They just beat everybody else after that. Like, you know, that might be the case, but yeah, just the fact that they lost, period, given the number of, because not only do you have players at the top of the game, you have both, you have experience, you have youth, you have strength, you have power.
They got brothers. Bro.
Byron's getting black as hell. Brothers with Virginia. And in some way,
Alphonso Davies. I mean, like, come on now.
Even got we got another American there, Chris Richards. He's bringing in as a center back. Like, I would have thought I would have never said this, but I might have to get me a Byron jersey one of these.
I know. I'm like, with the shocker statements about, like, you know, if I'm going to be jumping ship and everything. Trust me, man. I was like, ooh, it's easy to go to that Byron side, but I can't do
it. Yeah.
Can't do it. I already support one big club. I can't do two big clubs.
right.
Can't do that. I think, like, the universe won't allow that. I think there's a man law on that. I think.
I mean, people do it over here all the time. Like I got one homie that, like, he does the Yankees, the Lakers, the Niners, and I don't think he does hockey, but yeah, like. Like, we do it all the time over here. So, like,
oh, yeah, we do. I mean,
but, like, I think with soccer, it's always different because it's like you don't want to just feel like, you know, you just front running on everything. But, you know, like I said, like, you see the blackness come through, you're like, I see it.
I did. Yeah. It's hard to resist that. It's hard to. Yeah.
I was hoping TK was going to be here because, like, speaking of blackness, like, they finally started to address their keeper issues and bought Mendy from
Senegal. We got the Senegalese represent.
Like, how many is Mendy just a common name? Because I'm like, yeah. I feel like there's like 10 different Mendys or something. No,
there's about 10 Mendys on Man City alone, I think.
But no, like, they just bought Edouard Mendy from Rennes, French club, Rennes. And yeah, like, because all I know is Kepa is
trash.
Kepa's gonna kill them. Kepa's gonna kill them.
Okay, but I mean, let me say that back. I'd never want to disrespect GKU, the goalkeeper union, like that.
But Kepa, you gotta check them though.
The reason why you get these harsh reactions when people are critiquing Kepa is because he's the most expensive keeper. I mean, like,
I knew he was the most expensive keeper. I didn't realize he had such a long contract with Chelsea, and it's like, ooh, y'all might have to eat this for a minute.
It was a bad deal. It was a bad deal. And so, you know, when your title is the most expensive keeper, you're going to live up to some expectation. And yeah. He hasn't done that. There's plenty of other keepers that are more rewarding of that. Sorry. I hate that it sucked. It's happening in Chelsea. Oh, well. But it is good to see. You know, obviously, Chelsea has always had a good reputation of, you know, having great black players. Mm-hmm. But they might not have great fans. But it's good to see that, you know, they're taking the steps with Mendy. Hopefully he has a good stint with them. I do want to see him do well there, even if it's against, you know, our United squad.
Just remember to suck against United and we're good.
Exactly, that's all. Just twice a year. You just got to suck against United and we're good.
Throw in an occasional Crystal Palace loss.
Yeah.
Yeah, just lose against, you know, Crystal Palace and Wolves every so often. Hey, we're good.
Look at Crystal Palace, like, God, they a black squad too. Like, I mean, Crystal Palace got the brothers on the team too.
Word. But yeah, we'll definitely be keeping an eye on that. We got a little bit more to talk about in the second half of the show. You know, we're gonna bring up TK on the ones and twos and pay a quick bill. And yeah, we'll be right back.
S-T-T-U-T-D.
And we are back. TK, what's up?
How's everyone doing? How's everyone doing?
Hopefully you're doing better than Kepa.
Low blow. No, it's all right, man. He'll survive that. Our new goalkeeper, Mindy. Shout out. Looking good.
Yeah, he did all right the day against Spurs. Like I said, you know, he had to go to the bathroom or anything. So, you know, that's all. Yeah.
It wasn't a dire situation.
You guys and your dad.
No!
Come on, Tony. No!
Oh,
let me see it,
man. Oh, man. So, yeah, of course, we were off last week. We finally dropped pro episodes. I don't know what we're going to have. I'm not sure what I'm going to have to do. What's my new inside joke going to be? Because, like, we finally did a pro episode. And, you know, of course, we took conversation to Twitter, got real busy on Sunday. And, you know, it's very interesting, you know, to see. Obviously, there's a lot of passion behind, especially with the people who want pro rel. And it's almost to a detriment, I think, at sometimes, because you got some people who are just so overzealous they can't see the forest for the trees and realize that, like I mentioned in the episode, I think that there's a lot of middle ground to be had between what we do here already and what's done overseas, and just say, hey, how are we going to make this all work? And, you know, it's very interesting to just, you know, get tied up in that conversation. Some people are like, I didn't sign up for this. I'm like, hey, you know, some people just get mad, passionate and everything. And I get that shit, but that was definitely interesting. But the cool thing that actually happened recently is we actually got nominated for an award. Like, people notice us and shit.
They be thinking about us. It's nice. We appreciate those things. Just to go ahead, first and foremost, tell them a little bit about it, Gregor.
Yeah, we got nominated for Best Sports Podcast by the Black Podcasting Awards. You know, I think, of course, as the podcasting era has kind of boomed, obviously a lot of Black voices have come up, and someone said, hey, like, we should recognize, you know, the podcast for what they're doing and, you know, give out awards and everything. And our episode with Lawrence back in June, that was the episode that kind of got us over the hump and, you know, got us nominated. Of course, granted, we didn't win. No, we lost to Dakeel Spikes and Behind the Mask. I'm like, you know, it's a lot of people who lose to Dakeel Spikes. Like, I get it.
Hey, no sore losers around here, man. Just being nominated is an honor. So to be held, you know, amongst considered from other Black voices, just is an honor in itself. So, you know, we're just going to put our nose down and keep with the grinding.
Yeah, I mean, like it was, you know, definitely a cool experience. I watched the award show on Sunday night, and like, of course, you don't really think about it, like, when it happens, but then, like, of course, your category comes up, and all of a sudden, you know, heart started racing real quick. I was like, oh shit, like, you know, it's like we're up. And I'm like, what if we win? Like, of course, they didn't have, like, I'll say, like, do we get like a speech or anything? Like, I don't know what was supposed to happen here. And,
how are we supposed to act?
Yeah. Like, it was, definitely cool to see. You know, shout out to, I think her name was Georgie. She's the organizer of the award show. Shout out to, Behind the Mask and for winning, and, you know, shout out to everybody that was nominated in all of their categories. If you want more information on this, go to blackpodcastingawards.com. And of course, from what they say, you know, we're going to keep doing this, so, you know, we'll be back at it next year. We're going to keep on cranking out good shit and getting good feedback from you guys, and keep this thing going. Matter of fact, I got some viewer some listener comments and all that good jazz, man. Like,
tell. This will be good. I'd like to know.
Yes. Got some off of Twitter from Kefsey, at Kefsey. And love to FTC UTD after checking out episode 92. That was the one with Toussaint. Pleasure to hear three guys with their heads on straight. Twos should not be afraid to podcast. Glad to hear the Soccer in the Streets greats. Was nodding my head to the soccer and basketball crossovers. Celebrating what's next. You know, thank you for that. There was actually one that I got on Instagram like a week or two ago. Let me see if I can pull that one up real quick.
This one was actually
pretty funny when I saw it, because it's by one of our homeboys here in Atlanta. Like, he's been fucking with us for a minute, but apparently he had never actually listened to the podcast. So it was like what? Like, he's ordered merch and everything. So yeah, this is from Jarrett Hayes. He was talking about, I got to come clean. I started the podcast maybe a month ago. I started from the very beginning, and now I'm on the episode with Reggie on the Footy Mob Capo. Thoroughly enjoying it. Hell, I thought that episode had me in tears remembering the feeling in the building for MLS Cup. Such a great day, such a great feeling. The podcast has left and out loud at work. Feeling as if I'm at the barbershop, learning, joking, and laughing. Forgive my tardiness, but thank you for one of the best enlightening pods I follow. Stay amazing. And once all this shit is over, we hope to meet y'all and chop it up. Little does Jared know, I think he and I met at the home opener this season. He probably didn't realize it was me, but I knew it was him because he's about like 6'6", and he looks like, I always choke with him, like, look like Black Hagrid. And like, you can't miss this dude. Like, there's no way in the world. But yeah, definitely thank you guys for the love. Of course, keep giving us your feedback on socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Let us know what you think. Also on the YouTube channel, you know, we're gonna keep this thing rolling. And then there is one more thing before we hit up two up or two down. The Athletic article. By Felipe Cardenas. That finally dropped. It finally dropped. I say, hold on, let me make sure Tony is up in here for this. Like, you say, you ready for this, Tony?
I'm up in this piece, baby. I'm always up in this piece.
All right. And so, of course, like, we've been hyping this up since about, like, we actually did interviews like back in June, right?
It was June, yeah, because it was right after Sicario, was killed, and so yeah.
And obviously, like, you had half the guys that were interviewed were FTC. You had me in there, Tony in there, Vera in there. I also had Curtis with Footy Mob, and also one of your guys,
Coach Abdul Bangura.
Yeah, tell us about that, by him real quick.
Yeah, so Abdul Bangura, he's a coach with us in Soccer the Streets. He's a technical director for us, Clarkson FC. He's originally from Sierra Leone. He has an amazing story to tell as far as like his journey within soccer. He's played professionally in various countries here. A lot of people here locally in Atlanta know him because he played for Atlanta Silverbacks for a quick stint. His journey is one that will humble you real quick. And so when it came to, you know, when they reached out to us and they were talking about, you know, the soccer community here in Atlanta, I wanted to make sure that all facets were identified. And, you know, I even spoke to a little of the Caribbean culture in my interview. That wasn't highlighted in the article, but a big influence for me in Atlanta as far as my soccer development was the Caribbean culture in Atlanta, specifically in the Cab area, like Stone Mountain area, where, you know, there's a huge Jamaican influence. And so I wanted to make sure that, you know, the immigrant and the refugee aspect of Atlanta was highlighted as far as how soccer came to be in the Because if it weren't for that, we would not be at this stage. Not even a question. So, yeah, Abdul, absolutely. he's a great guy, great person, great human, and he's got a kid on the way. His third kid on the way. So, woo. He's got a lot of coaching to do right now.
Yeah, man. What were your thoughts on the article, TK?
Honestly, it was a beautiful thing, man. It's just great to be in you guys' company. Humbled to have, you know, that opportunity to have guys from For the Culture highlighted with The Athletic. You know, it's just good to see them highlight Atlanta soccer and moving things forward. Unfortunately, I only got to read a little stint of the articles on the preview. I don't have a subscription myself to The Athletic.
Greg, yeah, actually got a pretty good deal right now. So I think they have like something like a dollar a month.
I know it's ridiculous.
She's like, L's getting all the money right now. Like, I got shit.
But no, it's just you know, like to have to see your peers and, you know, people that you chop it up with on like a kind of daily. It's just nice. It's humbling. It's just congratulatory to, you know, you guys, Vera, and all the other guys in the community and gals. To, you know, who were in that interview and highlighted, you know, did Atlanta proud.
Appreciate it, man. Appreciate it. Yeah. I think that for the most part, you know, the perspectives that were put out in the article were definitely good. Like Tony said, there's a lot of stuff that, you know, was left out that I think could have added even more. There was one thing that kind of, you know, they kind of got me a little bit, because people were kind of coming at us and me specifically sideways, just in how people were thinking that we were looking at it as if there aren't any existing, any current Black voices out there in soccer media. When I mentioned Mo Adu, Kobe Jones, and Charlie Davies, and yeah, like I was like, I'm talking about TV, you know, like on TV, you don't really see a lot of us, granted. And on top of that, we're talking about like back 2 years ago when the podcast first started, you know, back then there really was not a lot of us doing podcasts. I think it was like just us and our homies, Shirtless Plantains. I think that was pretty much it. And like that, the atmosphere is, and the environment has grown exponentially. You have guys like Banter Pub, Chop Soccer. You have our guys, River City 93. Like, you have all these outlets now that are expanding on that conversation and the intersection of Black culture and soccer, to where, you know, it's relatively healthy now. Of course, it can always improve. You know, we always want to, you know, give love to, you know, everyone in that environment, because first and foremost, we, like, most of us don't know each other, especially at this point, because I know, at least especially with me, on the social media account, like, I try to reach out to everybody, and, you know, some people know they do their own thing, and that's cool. But at the same time, I feel like us working together and you know, fellowshipping only helps out the big picture goals, at least I think. But, you know, we're definitely appreciative of Felipe for taking the time to talk to us. Ollie putting that up, that article out there. Again, if you haven't done so already, it's on theathletic.com in their soccer section. But yeah, it's definitely a good piece. And we definitely recommend it. Yeah, I really have much of an update as far as ftcutd.myshopify.com. Everybody with name set orders, that shit is on the way if you haven't already received it. And keep making your orders. I think we are all finally up to date. It's been a long ass summer getting a lot of stuff straightened out on that side. But yes, we are back up and running. And, you know, whether it's shirts, hoodies, name sets, hats, ftcutd.myshopify.com. Get at that shit.
Speaking of shirts and dropping funds, are you prepared and set for the Nigeria?
I already got my I gotta be away jersey.
I think we're gonna have to be prepared, Grego, that like this is probably gonna be a good like 6 to 8 weeks where we're just not gonna get orders because everybody's just like, here, Nike, take my
like we gotta get the jersey first. Once we get the jersey first, then we
can when they get the jersey, then you come holler at us to put the names on
it. Yeah, you know. We had a similar conversation just like that on Twitter a couple weeks ago. Someone was saying, like, you know, they wanted to order a name set, but they didn't have the jersey. I was like, yeah, go ahead and get a jersey first. If your money's slim, you know, we are patient people. Go ahead and take care of your jersey first. Make sure you at least have that because, you know, some of these jerseys, they don't last that long before they're gone. Because that's why, like, as soon as, like, it was 10-11 when I got the notification about the Nigeria jerseys. By 10-13, I had that shit. So, yeah, make sure that, you know, if you got to pick one, we got no problem you picking your jersey first. And like I said, we're here. We're waiting for you. FTCUTD.myshopify.com. We got you.
But, some data economy is struggling. Mm-mm. Nigeria just dropped kits.
Yeah, man. Like, it's I'm still looking at the track pants too. I'm like, man, that looks all the way kind of good right now. I'm like, But I said one thing at a time, and you know, get all that stuff done. Now let's hop up and two up and two down, man. What you got, Coach?
All right, you know, if y'all been listening to me in the last however many months, I've been staying positive with the two up, two downs, and everything, but I am going to say a down.
What?
Dun, dun, dun.
Breonna Taylor.
I
think we all know it's not really much to really have to say for us because if you're listening to this podcast and you're already kind of, if you know, you know type of thing. Not that I had my hopes up knowing how, like, we knew what was going to happen, but still, it's just one of those harsh start realities. And then on top of that, you know, RBG passing away is just like, damn, like,
one hit after another.
It's just like, we know that, like, November is going to be a hard, hard time. And just like, the state of the United States is it's not a good look right now. And so after Breonna, the decision with the one police officer, just the one,
and just for shooting outside the crib, like,
right, yeah,
the hell.
So I mean that's the down. Then you got assholes raising money for old boy, little white boy who shot up in Kenosha.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing that they got 500,000 raised for him.
It's amazing, like, to me how many people just really just condone that kind of shit and just say, hey, not only are we okay with it, we will support you and make sure that you are exonerated of all that shit. The lack of humanity there is honestly appalling, and it's a very sobering reminder of the black experience here in this country, where a lot of people just think that, you know, hey, we're free, we have rights. I'm like, just because we have rights doesn't mean that they're equitable rights to where it's okay to just get shot and nobody gets held responsible for that shit. Like, it's wild.
I had lead with that. I know it's a hard one to lead with. And then my other down is Annie Bellum. I was disappointed in that. Very disappointed in my girl, Janelle Monae. I saw it, paid for it. I was very disappointed in it. You know, of course you had the representation as far as these horror films go with, you know, Us and, you know, Get Out. But,
didn't not do it for you.
Not gonna spoil anything, but I was very disappointed. Oh man, it's so much potential. So much potential. All right, so those are my two downs.
Okay.
We're gonna rise up. I'm not even gonna mention a team that uses that phrase rise up. because we're moving on the positive vibes. We're gonna keep it positive now. You know, it's so funny, like you never know about these national so-and-so days, and you know, you find out it's National Donut Day or it's National Coffee Day just randomly and stuff, and it's just, you're like, oh, okay, cool. All right,
like how my donut real quick.
Just like that's how it was for National Daughters Day, and I was like, oh, that's the thing. Oh, all right. So it was funny. I just had to go through my favorites, like, yep. There you go. Love my daughter. Y'all know I'm an absolute, like, I'm a daddy. You know, I'm all about my daughter and everything like that. So, you know, had to celebrate her. I know last podcast I was on, I celebrated my dad. Got to celebrate my daughter right now. Got her on fall break this week. So looking to have a good time with her this week at the lake house with my old coaching buddy. So that's good. And then the last up I have is shout out to HBCUs. If shit has been bad for 2020 for everybody else, HBCUs for 2020 are on the rise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stock is rising for HBCUs. And so Deion Sanders coming through with Jackson State, coming through with Styles, just Coach Prime with Duke. Love that he's already flipping recruits. He's got the bomb-ass coaching staff. I mean, like, you'd be crazy not to consider Jackson State as a threat because what he's got going on in his coffers right now, he's going to mess with somebody. He's going to mess with the SEC. I tell you that.
He's going to shake some pages. But you know what, though? But on that note, that's the stuff you got to watch out for, because you know how it always is. A program gets on the rise, and then then the powers that be is like,
hey, man, why are you messing up my pot? Dude, stop.
My bad. Okay,
this is my up. Do stay not.
Back. Get back, Craigo.
All right, man.
Cast those demons away.
Smite the almighty smiter.
Gosh. Man, this is my up, all right? Damn it.
It is an up. It's absolutely an up.
All right. And then Noah Bowden from New York, he committed to Grambling State. He was a top quarterback coming out of New York and everything. I think, like, Arizona State and Baylor were looking at him, too, or whatever. So he decided to go to Grambling State. So HBCUs, I'm loving that people are actually considering, like, them as a premier top institution, because it's always been in my family as a top institution to go to HBCU. It's good to see that, you know, on almost a society level where that's now starting to be an acceptable thing. So those are my two.
And shout out to Jackson State Marching Man, the Sonic Boom. Like, I never got put under them like that, you know, being on the East Coast and everything. But you know, since being down here and learning about, you know, more of the other, like, Southwest, like the SWAT schools and everything, yeah, the Sonic Boom is that shit.
Yep.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
That shit's real. And I do have one quick thing about Jackson State, especially with the football team. Prime gonna have to watch his woman to get with them players, because for y'all who don't know, he's dating Babyface ex-wife Tracy Edmonds. She fine. She big fine.
Never heard of her.
And I'm like,
oh, yeah, bro.
I'm like, man.
Me and Babyface share the same legal name.
Yeah.
I know about him.
And I'm like, yeah, he might want to watch it, because somebody going to try to shoot that shot, because I'm like I said, she big fine. Like,
so. Can we be entangled?
Yeah. Entanglement, yeah.
I'm down for an option.
Yeah, man, like I'm more than thrilled to, you know, see how this develops, and so hopefully this only grows from here. You know, more coaches consider HBCUs, more talent prospects and recruits consider HBCUs, because, you know, if you're good, if your goal is the pros, if you're good, the scouts will notice you, the teams will notice you. It's no big thing. So people have access nowadays, so that's no thing. But TK, hit it.
I should be start with an up. I don't want to be negative this week. I had a rough day today, but I want to be positive. So just celebrating my daughter's 3 months here in our lives. It's just, you know, I can't say much more, man. It's just beautiful. Like seeing her grow.
You finally got the picture on Facebook.
Yeah, man. I'm just nice. With my shits. So I try to, you know, that 3 months is good. And, you know, I don't want to subject my daughter to everyone's fucking opinion on Facebook, even if it isn't, you know, like the Gerber baby thing. Curb your enthusiasm. I appreciate the love, but I ain't trying to, you know, because people at the end of the day, unfortunately for women, they get judged on their looks for the majority of their lives. And I don't want to subject her to that more sooner than I have to.
But she cute, though. But she cute, though. She's
I appreciate the love. So, yeah, man, just, you know, happy to have a daughter and be able to celebrate National Daughter's Day. That was cool. Jumped on the train for that one. I was much like Tony. I was just like, oh, this is a thing. Let's edit this post, and now I got a hashtag in there. So, holla. But other than that, man, just the train is just moving forward, man. Train is moving forward. Trying to buy a house, but we'll see what we get down on that. And I'm looking forward to seeing all my fellow friends and family, associates, amigos. Get out there and vote, folks. That's all I want. Get out there and vote.
Yeah, like, of course, we're recording this during the debate, so we'll catch the highlights and everything when we get done with all this madness and everything. But
there's going to be some highlights. There's going to be some lowlights.
Lowlights.
There's going to be some lows.
Yeah, those two guys.
But, yeah, let's give you all a quick down real quick for our West Indian homies. Trinidad Carnival got canceled. Like, straight up canceled. I got a special homegirl, Tracy, that, like, carnivals is what she does. And, you know, so to hear that news and, you know, everybody that takes part of that culture, you know, whether it's here or overseas, like, that's a big blow. Of course, you know, carnival's been getting knocked out left and right, but they just went and said, like, no, we can't do it, especially considering the amount of people who actually come into Trinidad and Tobago for carnival. You know, that's a big hit to their local economy. And, you know, that's a big blow. And also on that Trinidad and Tobago, I saw that FIFA suspended the TNT Soccer Federation because Trinidad and Tobago actually sued FIFA because, They took over their federation, and but won't let them get it back. Because for those of y'all who don't know, Trinidad Tobago is like the home of Jack Warner, one of the guys who were busted in the big FIFA investigation, and in relative terms, it's kind of why CONCACAF is the way it is now, where it's all just janky and just kind of disjointed and everything. A lot of that happened under his watch, him and Chuck Blazer, who was with the U.S. and everything. And so that's you know, FIFA can be real next to time. So that's just messed up. And hopefully TNT can get back up and running. Another down is Tory Lanez's new album, which is basically like, how can I put this? Remember that book that OJ did? It's like, I didn't do it, but if I did. That's how this shit sounds. It's like, have the album is just like, I ain't do it, but I really did do it. And it's like, bruh, like, stick to your story, man. And like, because I didn't realize, like, he's Canadian. So like, a lot of this shit's basically like getting him like sent back to Canada. I'm pretty sure they're probably looking at him like, you coming back here, dog? Like, nah, you find somewhere else, man. But Yeah, that's that album was just a hot mess.
Is that all right? So, real quick, rapid fire. What have you been listening to other than Tory Lanez? What's something you've been listening to?
Stormzy.
You said Stormzy.
Stormzy, I'll be on that.
Okay, you been on Stormzy?
I think I've heard one song on Stormzy. I haven't listened to the whole album yet.
What you been listening to? Real quick, rapid fire, man. What you been listening to?
I really like. It's been more podcast led this week, so I'm like, I ever since the podcast in the world, I'm hey, I'm getting put on the more shit because that's actually my first up is to you know say just thank everyone involved with the Black Podcasting Awards for nominating us and seeing our star quality and everything.
All right, then Tony, you turn. What about you?
I'm still bumping Burna Boy, man. I've been bumping Burna Boy on repeat like crazy. So,
folks, should we do more rapid fires? Make a whole 20-minute session?
You stupid. Hold up. No, we ain't gonna do that. But I didn't get you. Like, what did you think about the nomination, Tony?
Oh, I mean, like the fact that we lost a no neck to Kale Spikes. I mean, like, I'm not mad, you know. But it's always great to be nominated. I mean, that means that someone recognizes and enjoys what they're listening and hearing and recognizes that there's work being done. So it's only the start. It's only the beginning. And, you know, best believe we will put some tags that say Black Podcast nominated. You know, I mean, like, trust me, we're going to put that on there. You know, remember when you bought DVDs? That was a thing. I don't know if y'all remember that.
What's the Hollywood video?
Yeah, we're gonna put those tags on there. But I mean, like it's great to be recognized, but we got a lot of work to do. So
yeah, man, we're still working and grinding. The Black Podcast Award nominated for the Culture Podcast.
It seems like a lot of work. Yeah. We know what Becky is not listening to.
That's hilarious. Most
certainly she is not.
And then last but not least, NBA Finals start this week. Lakers, Heat.
Who you rocking with, Greg?
Lakers in six.
Man, I don't watch NBA, guys. Don't do it. You know this. Don't do this. I heard them talking shit about LeBron. They said it was going to be an easy out for him. I don't know. Maybe the Celtics? Celtics still in it. It's game five?
No. Finals. Miami beat Boston. And pretty handily, actually. Like, I'm giving Miami all the respect in the world because their run has been more than impressive, and that's why I say it's six. Because, of course, so far the Lakers have basically been 5-5-5 in all their series.
He won it with the Lakers already?
Who?
LeBron.
Say what?
Has he won anything with the Lakers already?
No, this is our second year.
Okay, well then. I guess he's got to win it at some point. So,
I think if he doesn't win this year,
the Heat beat the Celtics. So, in that kind of world, then I want them. The Heat, Tony. The Heat is my answer. Let's move on.
Who you got, Tony? Man,
I think Lakers in five, and this is the reason why. I watched that whole series with the Heat and Celtics. Jimmy was very low key,
yeah.
And Bam Adebayo, and obviously, you know, we had our boy Hero. He went off for that one game for 37 and everything like that. Mm-hmm. Lakers are too damn big and athletic and long, and like, bruh, I don't see unless the Heat. I really think the Heat are going to be determined if Jimmy goes off. That's the only way if they're going to be like truly competitive. Now, yes, they've been like Duncan Robinson. Duncan might go off. Hero might go off. Bam is going to get his. But, like, other than that, it's really going to be dependent upon Jimmy. And so the Lakers, watching them this whole playoffs, because I was going for the Nuggets last series. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was going for them. I knew the Lakers were going to win, but I was going for the Nuggets.
They tried. They tried.
They tried. They tried. They tried. But
Anakin, this bitch.
The Lakers are just too stacked, and they got all the right pieces, man. And it's just – I say Lakers in five, man. They doing that 5-for-5 deal type of thing.
5-for-5.
Yeah, they doing that.
Five, but no, it's like
$5 foot long.
but no, like, and I've said this pretty much like all season long. Like, you know, of course, I think we missed it when we were recording when the Clippers choked. Of course, Doc Rivers is gone and everything. I'm like, hey, when you choke like that, it is what it is. But but yeah, like I've said this for pretty much all season, LA size is why they are where they are, because nobody else has their kind of size. When you have McGee, Dwight Howard, AD, like it's all there. Like you have to get around all those bigs and still deal with LeBron. And I think actually the biggest positive for them has actually been getting Rondo back from injury, like having someone. Having another person as a ball handler aside from LeBron, and given Rondo's experience, I think that's been huge. Like, I think it was like game three, four.
He came through, dude. He was just throwing lots of AD. Like, I mean,
yeah,
he definitely was a difference maker. Definitely,
like, yeah, like he's got enough dog in him to where, yeah, like if as long as they remain focused. This should be LA's to lose. Like I definitely have a lot of love for Miami, but this is LA's to lose.
I mean, like we also got to highlight the fact that like the poetic part of it is that the same year that Kobe passes away, like they gotta win it, man. Like
yep.
They gotta win it.
Damn it, Tony. Now the Lakers gotta win it. You're right. We need something. California's on fire. That's another one of my downs. I didn't give a down, but shit, California's on fire, and that shit is devastating as fuck, man. Yeah. And a million people have apparently died from COVID. Also, shit is devastating.
Just that small minor detail.
Those things.
Yeah, good news. The fire's out. Bad news. You still got to deal with COVID. So yeah, that's just wow. But
bad news. You still got to deal with Atlanta Falcons. Like.
Hey, they are all the way.
I don't know how these people are out here do it. I just don't know.
Why are you still on that narcotic, man? I don't understand why people on that narcotics do.
But I might tell y'all, man. But I might tell y'all.
I have to do it more. I stopped watching NFL ever since Cap. So.
And it's funny because I have a post from Facebook from a year ago where it says Dan Quinn is done. And I'm like, here, later.
We're still waiting.
Still here. He must. He know where the bodies are. Like, I don't know what it is, man. But
sure.
Get up on that and more next week on FTCUTD. Catch on the socials at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at FTCUTD. Actually, sound pretty good. I like that. You know, keeping the conversation going, connecting with you guys. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast apps, Apple, Google, Spotify, Anchor, all of them. Get at them, get at us. Like I said, we had a good, fun episode, man. Like, again, thank you to the Black Podcast Awards for the nomination. Thanks to Felipe Cardenas for the article. And thank you guys. You know, I said it's been a real trip. But yeah, until next week for Coach, for TK, for Rashad, this is Grego. The coach is real. The coach is everywhere. We'll see y'all soon, and we out.